Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from Monday Nights, our local community gathering. If you want to be a part of it and you live in the Southern California area, you are invited. Or if you don't live here but you want to join us online at crmovement.com/gatherings. Hope you enjoy the message. Thank you, Zach. What's up, team? How we doing? Today's Memorial Day. Do we have anybody who serves in the military or has a family that serves in the military, past or present? Can you raise your hand? Can you just stand up really quick? We want to give you a huge round of applause. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up really quick. You just raise your hand. I know it's the kind of, yeah, come on. It's amazing. Just want to take a moment. Honor any of you who have served or if you're part of a family who serves. Everybody kind of serves when you're part of a military family. Our own Matt Nelson, Captain Matt Nelson at Circuit Riders here. We shout him out today. It's a good day. Well, guys, tonight, I want you to look at your neighbor because last week, how many remember we ended with the crazy encouragement fest? How many of you guys remember that? How many of you were like, I didn't like that? It was weird, but it was fun. Wow. Okay. How many of you did enjoy it? How many of you felt encouraged? How many of you felt encouraged to encourage somebody? Okay. So tonight, I'm going to try to get through some teaching here so we can get back to some activation, back to a little bit of training. These nights, if this is your first time here, or maybe your first couple times, you missed the last couple of weeks, we're in a series called the Culture Series, where we're diving into the cultures of Jesus. And sometimes in Christianity, it's all about learning head knowledge, but not immediately applying it. Like, sometimes churches, like, we talk about skydiving. Skydiving, it's amazing. You jump out of the airplane, you wear a seatbelt. It's amazing. But how many know you learn so much if you just jump out of a plane? With a parachute, for sure, and a lot if you don't, both. But the point is we want to put what we're learning into practical action. So look at somebody next to you, go ahead. Look at someone next to you and say, hey, you're gonna be my prayer partner tonight. All right, if you don't know, I'm gonna give you 20 seconds, just introduce yourself really quick. If you're in an awkward group of three, you're in a group of three. Go ahead, just say, what's up? My name is, you know, whatever. We're gonna be prayer partners tonight. Nick is going to make me do stuff. It's going to be really exciting. So here's what we want to talk about tonight. It's a perfect subject for Memorial Day. We want to talk about the culture of the courageous heart of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have some courage? I want you to look them in the eyes. Like, do they got, you know what I'm saying? That crazy eyed look. Like, do you have courage? Go ahead, ask him. See, I've had this privilege of getting to travel around the world, and courage is something I feel like Americans really value. Like, when I watch Braveheart, I don't just enjoy the movie. I have an experience every time I watch that film. Some of you men know what I'm talking about, and some of you men need to know what I'm talking about. And you know what? I've had a conversation. That wasn't a rebuke. Just like saying, watch the movie, you know? Skip some scenes, but watch the movie. All right, so, and some of even the ladies in here, I've had conversations at my house that you enjoy Braveheart and that you think it's amazing and that you have an experience. I think there's something so powerful whenever we see a story of real courage. Like, you ever see those clips on Instagram where, like, someone is jumping in the train tracks to try to commit suicide and the train is coming and an innocent bystander jumps in, grabs them, and hauls them to safety? How many of you watch that? I get chills every time. I, like, watch it. I'm like, that's the gospel. That's the essence of courage. That's what I want to live in. I think sometimes we don't talk about the courage of Christ enough. We talk about the love of God a lot. We talk about the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the tenderness of God. But how many of you know that Jesus had tons of courage? And that courage is not just an American ideal. It's actually a kingdom principle. Courage is from God. Courage is God's idea, and it's how every believer is supposed to live. All throughout Scripture, it's constantly encouraging. God is constantly encouraging us to have courage. The kind of the famous text is Joshua 1, where God comes to Joshua and he's about to invade the promised land. He says, hey, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And we're like, okay, that's amazing. Be strong and courageous. Like, we kind of go for the pump up speech. Like, you need to face your fears. How many of you have had a great sermon on facing your fears before? How many of you have given yourself a sermon, I'm going to face my fear? How many have given yourself a pep talk to face your fear? How many have caught yourself talking to yourself in a public space, trying to give yourself courage to do something? I was walking down the street the other night, and this guy was, I think, pumping himself up to go on a date. And he was a great-looking guy. I'm sure he was going to do well. But he was walking down. He looked crazy. He looked crazy. Do you ever talk? You don't realize you're talking out loud, but your buddy's like, dude, who are you just talking to? And he's literally walking like this, like, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Like, I'm like, this guy does not realize where he is right now. He's so afraid. He's trying to pep talk himself to be able to go and to conquer his fears. But sometimes we go like, yeah, face my fears. How many watch motivational videos on YouTube? You won't admit to it, but those ones, I'm talking like Denzel Washington's always in every single one, right? Life is hard. And it's always the Inception soundtrack. Life is hard. But failure's harder. Work hard. You know, like, whoa, yeah. I'm going to grind. I'm going to hustle. And then, like, it works for, like, 15 minutes. And then it's, like, half day. You're like, I need a sandwich. I need a coffee. I don't even know where I am right now. I want a nap. How many of you have had these experiences before? And so what we want to do tonight is we don't want to just talk about and have an inspirational moment. I actually find that inspiration doesn't always make you more courageous. Inspiration makes you courageous for a moment, depending on when I give you that speech. So if I give you a speech like right now, how many of you, oh man, this is dangerous to ask. How many of you have been the pump up guy or girl and when they're gonna call the person they're supposed to go out with and they're nervous and you're like, you got it, you got it, you got it, you got it. How many of you have been that guy or girl? Raise your hand. Oh wait, we have some good friends in here. How many of you celebrated when it went good? How many of you lied and said that was amazing even when it went bad? Man, we have a lot of great people in here tonight. That's what I'm talking. That's friendship. That's friendship. But we got to be able to go to the well. How do you actually get courage? How do you actually become a more courageous person? Because the result of following Jesus should be that you become more and more courageous. Look at this verse. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So meaning that those that don't have Jesus, right? Those that maybe are living for themselves, sometimes they're so afraid, they're afraid of being afraid. They got nothing to live for, but if you are following Christ, you have every reason to have courage because God of the angel armies, God the creator, God who made you, God who's guiding history is on your side and it should result in you being bold as a lion. Okay, can I read like a super intense verse? Like this is really intense. It literally says lake of fire in the verse. All right, you guys asked for it. Livestream's like, no! This is for you, Livestream. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Okay, that is so intense. Actually, let's change this subject. We're going to talk about the lake of fire tonight. Just kidding. No, all right, we're going to keep on courage. But isn't it crazy that right next to the sexually immoral, that's what we think, like, hey, dude, if you're sleeping around, if you're doing drugs, if you're living the party lifestyle, you're in sin. But isn't it crazy that right next to all of those things, they actually list those who are cowards? That's the Bible. That is like, that is motivational right there. Now, what they're talking about there is not like you're afraid to go on roller coasters. All right, you don't go to the lake of fire for not liking roller coasters. At least, not, otherwise I'm going to the lake of fire. Like I literally hate roller, anyone hate roller coasters? I hate drops, I hate elevator rides, I hate any ride really that makes my stomach move at all. I like Peter Pan ride, I like Space Mountain. Like, you go like 20 miles an hour. That's my speed. That's about as much as I go. But what it's talking about here is that they're basically saying, if you look at the context, they're saying, hey, you're getting a lot of courage to actually live a faithful Christian life. And so there are going to be those who, on the journey of following Jesus, they're going to give up their faith. And they're going to move in what the Bible says is cowardice, deny Christ, and fall away. That is so intense. But this is the scriptures. This is why Jesus is saying we all need the courageous heart. Can we keep going for a moment? Let's look at this. Let's look at some definitions of biblical courage. I pulled these from a few different Bible dictionaries. I think they're going to help us understand what biblical courage is. Courage isn't just being hyped. Courage isn't just like doing something wild. That's kind of our modern version of what courage is like. Dude, what are you going to do to break your fear? Like every YouTube video is like breaking fear, like put a snake on you, eat a spider, jump out of a plane, you know, talk to a stranger, go on a trip with a stranger. Love all that, but that's nothing to do with real what real biblical courage looks like. Courage, a virtue that entails the capability to endure, resist, and overcome adversity. Together with wisdom, justice, and temperance, courage or fortitude, defined as the ability to act according to the reason in the face of fear, is numbered among the four cardinal virtues of the ancient Greek thought. The Bible enjoins a courage that goes beyond the mere managing of one's fear, for the exercise of this virtue arises out of confidence in God. So biblical courage is not just I'm cool under pressure. Biblical courage is I have so much confidence and it's radiating because I know God. Let's look at this next definition. The resolve to meet danger with strength, daring, and confidence. It is manifested by Israel's man of valor in the Old Testament. Other expressions for courage are found also in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Christians are summoned to courage on the basis of Christ's victory over death and worldly powers. So all of us know, right, that Christ's mission was not just to love you, but was also to fight an enemy to get you. So the essence of the Christian life is a confrontation with the enemy. It's a confrontation with evil. It's a confrontation with dark powers, to rip them off of your mind, to rip off the blinders off the lost world, and to pull them into a relationship with Jesus. Right? Courage isn't just loving someone when it's hard. There's actually a little bit of a confrontation in a Christian that should rise up to go, you know what? I'm sick of human trafficking. That has everything to do with Satan's plan for humanity on the earth. There's a righteous anger. There's a courage in my heart, and I want to face that. And I believe I can deal with that because Christ already beat death, already beat sin, and already beat all of the demons. Right? Sometimes we put Satan and Jesus as equals. Like, kind of like whoever in the Marvel series. Green Goblin, Spider-Man. No, it's not. Jesus is God. The devil is a created being. And Jesus has overwhelmingly lived in victory. Can we keep going? Let's look at this. Bible dictionaries, who knew? All right. Courage, the strength of purpose that enables one to withstand fear or difficulty. Physical courage is based on moral courage, meaning that courage lived out in action is an expression of courage of the heart, courage of inner principle, courage of inner virtue. Let me keep going. A reliance on the presence and power of God and a commitment to his commandments. So here's the three, here's some keys of what biblical courage. It means to endure, resist, and overcome adversity. Number two, it means to meet risk or danger with strength, daring, and confidence. And biblical confidence comes from God. Okay, so here's the, I'm gonna go a little teacher mode for a moment. Can we do that? Can we go like pretend there's a whiteboard here? I'm gonna explain to you where actually courage comes from. So courage is not like something you just muster up. It's what theologians call, I'm about to teach you some deep stuff, a derivative virtue. Everyone say a derivative virtue. I saw like 15 people get triggered. That was like algebra true. You're like, oh no, no, no test. Don't worry. What it means is that courage actually comes from something else. It's the fruit of something else in your life. And it's the fruit of faith. So the level of your faith is the level of your courage. Let me give you, let's just like play it out practically, right? You can have faith in yourself. Do some of you have a healthy faith in yourself? I hope so. Like you believe you can do things. Grocery shop, make your bed, survive, breathe. Who has confidence at least for those four things right there? All right. Okay, so we got confidence in that. Therefore, right, you will act and do those things accordingly. How many of you were really talented in sports? Like you were really good. Go ahead. Just, it's your moment to toot your horn. This is it. Raise your hand. All right. We got one here. Oh, we got another. Okay. He's like, yeah, I was. I'm famous. All right. Anyway, over here, LaTanya. LaTanya, what did you play?
Basketball.
And you were a boss?
Oh, yeah.
What position did you play?
Two.
Help me out. I played soccer. Shooting guard. Thank you. All right. When it came down to it, the end of a game, right? Fourth quarter, 20 seconds left. The ball's coming to one person to shoot. It's coming to you. Did you have confidence in that moment, in yourself? 60-40, all right. Very honest, unhelpful for my point. All right, so the point. Right, so the essence is right there. Let's imagine she had 100% confidence. In that moment, she's saying, you ever see that guy on the court? He's like, pass it to me. Think Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's mad if you pass to somebody else. Because he has so much confidence that he's going to deal with you, that he's going to win the game. He wants the ball. Therefore, he has the courage to face all the semi-loyal Laker fans. How many of you been to a Laker game? It's sad, man. We only show up like halfway through. We leave during the third quarter. We just eat corn dogs. We only clap if we win. We need a lot of help. But that's all right. LeBron's not earning it right now. Let's pray for LeBron. Let's have a prayer meeting. Lord, we pray. All right. Never mind. Let's keep going. So in the same way, right, if you actually believe what God said, how courageous would you really be? See, courage comes from the moment where you believe who God says he is, you believe his promises, and you believe that he has the power to do them on behalf for your life. So for example, if the Bible promises that if you live and follow Jesus and obey him and follow the Spirit, that he's going to provide for your every need, how many of you worry about finances besides me? How many of you worry about finances right now? We got an unbelief problem, all of us included. Because if you had faith that God would provide, you would be able to have courageous generosity. How many of your bank accounts been low and you see that person and says, God goes, give him some of your money. And you're like, no, God, no. No, I can't give. I got my bank account so low. He's like, no, give. Right, if you believed, you would give because you trust that God could fulfill his promise and provide for you. Can we keep going?
Yeah.
See, there's another key thing. Because sometimes, have you ever been stuck, like you're trying to get faith? You're like, Nick, that's so good. I love that, dude. But I have a hard time believing God at all. What do we try to do? Are any of you guys like repeaters? Like you repeat the same thing over and over again trying to get faith? All right, let's look at a verse here really quick. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So like you're like trying to figure out like God loves me. So you're like John 3:16. For God so loved the world. 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 I'm going to put audio Bible on. For God so loved the world. All right. I'm getting memory cards out. You're trying to get more faith. You're trying to get more faith. You're repeating phrases. There's a power in that for sure. You're going to get some more faith that way for sure. But there's a greater thing that you have to mix in to get more faith. And it's actually humility. It's actually crazy. If you lack tons of courage, this is going to hurt. Chances are you don't have a lot of humility. If you're a kid, someone say, come on, pastor. Amen. That's right. Pump me up. Courage me up right now. So chances are, if you're a repeat person who's always like, I'm trying to find courage. I'm trying to obey God. Every time you're supposed to follow the Spirit, do something outside your comfort zone, and you can't make the leap, chances are somewhere you lost some humility along the journey. Because check this out. Let's keep going. Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. So if you're approaching the promises of the Bible and of Jesus as Jesus is my homeboy, Jesus is my counselor, Jesus is my motivational YouTube video, Jesus is the suggester, versus Jesus is literally full of power at the right hand of God right now, and every single description of heaven is God is surrounded with power like a thick smoke. There is so much glory around him. And anybody who comes in his presence, the Bible says, usually falls down like a dead man. Meaning if you entered the heavenly courts as worship service, you would walk in and you wouldn't even make it past the doorway. You'd just be boom, out. Because the fear of the Lord is so intense. Check this out. Check this out. Okay, Isaiah 6:8. I'm jumping around. Famous Old Testament prophet. For everybody who don't know who Isaiah is. Famous Old Testament prophet. So you got to imagine an Old Testament prophet. They're giving judgment prophecies. They're rebuking people. They're giving prophecies of hope. They're a very courageous individual. They're a very holy person. Would you think that if you met a prophet, they'd probably be a pretty holy person? How many have that really scary person that you know they're never doing anything but like praying and reading their Bible and journaling or sleeping or sharing the gospel or working? And even when they work, it's like they're an angel. They never get mad. They hug everybody. They get tons of tips and then they give it all away to somebody. How many of you know someone that's so convicting it's hard to hang out with them? Like, what do you want to do tonight? Let's have a prayer meeting. What do you want to do? Dude, let's go to the pier and evangelize. You're like, yo, I just want to watch Obi-Wan, man. Like, can we? Right? So this is the kind of purity that Isaiah is walking in. And he has a heavenly encounter where he's transported. Boom. He's in the throne room and he sees God. And he instantly breaks down and says, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm basically a nobody. I'm so, so sinful. You are God. I am not. See, there's something that is so intense for so many of us, but there's something so healthy when you realize that God is God and you are just a man, that you are just a woman, that you don't make the rules. He makes the rules. That, yeah, you have a degree of control, but the only control you have is because he created a world where you could have a little bit of control. Let that just deal with your mind for a moment. The only reason you have a measure of free choice is because God was so good, has so much power and sovereignty that he could construct a world where you would have free choice. Right? He's so good that he can work your circumstances to get a hold of you anytime, anywhere, any way he wants. He spoke through donkeys in the Old Testament. Right, sometimes people get saved when an unsaved roommate rebukes them and then they end up going back to church and finding the Lord. The Lord can use anybody, anywhere. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? And if you didn't know what Nebuchadnezzar is, just if you ever followed Kanye's journey, he did a play called Nebuchadnezzar. He said he was Nebuchadnezzar. Right, and Nebuchadnezzar was like a super arrogant Old Testament king who was super wicked. And he kept challenging God, saying, I am God and you are not. And what happened? He lost his mind. And the Bible says that he roamed around the fields like a wild animal eating the grass. Then the Lord restores his mind and he goes, I'm not God. God is God. I'm only going to give worship to him. See, I'm wondering how many of us have been around, you've had at least one moment where you have the fear of the Lord and you go, I better not mess with God right now. How many of you have had that moment before? Like, how many have been the place where your heart gets so calloused and so hard that you're afraid because you don't really care if you sin? But like, you know God and that scares you. How many of you scared yourself by how far you've been willing to go? That should scare you. Because some guys in the Bible, they go and do that and God hardens their heart and they move away from God forever. And then some guys, God pursues and wins them back. So there should be this moment of like, man, God, you're for real. I didn't create anything. You can't, you can make a Lego set. That's it. Some of you can't even create a perfect day. Some of you cannot create peace in your own mind for more than 20 minutes without distracting yourself watching something, and you hate being by yourself. Because if you're with yourself, it's the worst person to be with in your world. How many of you ever try to be silent for like an hour by yourself with no music, entertainment, videos, anything? Anyone try to do that before? It's crazy. I can't do that. I think that's a lot of people in this generation, myself included, different portions of my life. See, there's this honesty with like, man, it's true. When I lead my life, it's a disaster. When God leads my life, it's incredible. I break my promises all the time, but when I look back on my life, I can't ever find a moment where God broke his promises to me. And so then that's how faith gets created. See, right now, faith is getting burst in the room because you're hearing the word and you're putting yourself in your rightful position and you're elevating Jesus to his rightful position, and that produces faith. So if you mix humility and you mix faith, you get courage. When you mix humility, let me say it one more time, and you mix faith, you get courage. For the rest of your life, it's the last Monday night you come to, and you go, I've lost all the courage in my life. Chances are, somewhere along the line, you bought into unbelief. And the reason you bought into unbelief is actually pride. Can I pick on something? I'm going to pick on deconstruction. Deconstruction, I'm going to get canceled. Hi, my name is Nick Brent. This is my apology video. I'm just kidding. All right. Right? I say this with sensitivity because there's real pain in people. I'm not like saying it from a robot with no compassion. But how many of you met somebody and they were angry at the church because of what the church didn't do for them? How many of you experienced this? And they let that bitterness fester to the point where it leads them away from the truth. And they begin to construct their own version of truth and eventually just leave God altogether. I've watched so many of my friends do this. It hurts every single time. But in that, doesn't it feel like, oh man, I have compassion for them. They got unbelief. I just need to pump them up with more faith. And you kind of send them verses like, dude, God is for you. God loves you. Watch this video about the universe. It's so big and God is bigger. God is big. Look at, you know, whatever you're trying, right? The 2-hour reasoning call. But at the end of the day, the only reason they began the journey was pride. Because if you don't think that you are just as big as a problem as every single other person in this room, then you're just dishonest and full of pride. If we had like a little reality TV show camera follow us like our whole life, every day, we all hurt people. We all break promises. We all let people down. We all say things, text things, think things that we should not think and hurt people all the time. And so the truth is that we think that somehow we're perfect and we just get to sit and be critical of everybody else. So, you know, some of these people online really scare me. Like, honestly, really scary. There's some guys on TikTok, I feel like they have an answer for everything. Like, literally, this is Nick Brent, back on TikTok. I got a hot take on about 10 more issues. I'm like, dude, do you read all day? Do you have a connection to throne room? How can you get so many heavenly insights? Like, it takes me sometimes a year to have one profound thought. How do you have a profound thought apparently every 4 hours? Don't scroll. The Jezebel spirit's invading and I have the key. What? What is happening? What are you doing, bro? Get off the internet, read your Bible, talk to someone, be normal. Right? There is. Right? Or you get on there, it's like, dude, I make videos with like I love, who loves Francis Chan? Who knows who Francis Chan is? I love Francis Chan. And like we made a video with Francis Chan and we put it on the internet. And then there was a conspiracy theory made about Francis Chan about how he was a heretic. Okay, I'm going to tell you what he said in the video. He said, America's busted. It's looking really bad. People are discouraged. But God moves sometimes when it's at its worst moment. Let's pray and humble ourselves before God for a movement in America. How controversial is that? Not controversial at all, but people will find a reason to be so critical, so crazy all the time and call it courage, but it's not. It's just pride. The only way to the access of real courage is humility. And humility always leads you to profound faith. Isn't that awesome? All right, can we keep going? All right, I want to look at four types of courage you're going to need to really follow Jesus and go to the very end. So how many of you want to like look back in your life? You're 70 years old, hopefully 80, 90, 140, whatever you do. Vitamins, take those gummy bears from Costco, whatever you need to do to get there, right? And you look back on your life and you want to say, I am more on fire now than I was at that Monday night with the Circuit Riders in 2022. Right, but most people don't live that way. They look back and go, man, those were my fiery days. And so if you want to be more on fire then than you are now, you got to watch out for the jaded monster. You got to watch out for the bitterness monster. You got to watch out for the unbelief monster. You got to watch out for cultural pressures and trial and suffering. And to make it through all of that, Jesus saying that courage is the key ingredient. So can we, I'm gonna jump into a few different quick snapshots. I don't have time to read the entire scripture, but I want to get into the essence of these three stories. Some of you, you're learning Bible stories, so I'm going to repeat them in context. For those of you who grew up in Sunday school, just follow along. The first kind of courage you need is the courage to resist and to stand firm. Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready to resist and stand firm? Didn't you just feel like that was so exciting? Like we're in a movie. Are you ready to resist? Stand firm. So there's a story in Daniel of three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are some good names for your future children. My son, Meshach. Shadrach. I wonder what Shadrach would do in the modern day. What do you do, Shadrach? I'm a race car driver. I don't know. All right. So here are these three guys. They are not from Babylon. Babylon is a wicked, godless city. They worship idols. They have all kinds of crazy, demonic, pagan, occult-like things that they do to rule that government. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, literally thinks that he is a god. So talk about, like, abuse of power. He literally thinks he's God. A man thinks I don't even want to get into the things that he would do in his daily schedule. It's so gnarly. So here are these three guys. They've been captured from Israel. They're exiles, and they've been forced to work in the government, but the Holy Spirit is on them, and they have so much favor, they arise to a high level of government and become a major influencer. Well, the king gets a crazy idea to construct a giant gold idol that everybody has to go worship outside and do some occult-like worship practices. How exciting. Oh, man, goodness. All right, so here are these three guys, and they're forced to come out there. And imagine, like, all of us, giant gold idol right now. And there's a plot twist, is if you don't bow down to the idol, we'll kill you right now on the spot. So here are three guys who, number one, know that the first commandment is you can't put any other god before the God of Israel, before Yahweh. And they're worshipers and followers of Yahweh. They're worshipers and followers of God. So they're not going to bow down. And they're standing in the back and they will not bow down. And some guys in the front are like, yo, those guys back there, they will not bow down to the idol. Bring them up here. And they bring them up to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he gets so mad. He says, I'm going to kill you right now. Like literally right now, if you do not bow down. And they do not do it. They say, I will not do it. Whatever happens, either God will rescue me or he won't, but we are not going to bow down to your idol. He goes, you know what? There's a nice little furnace over there, and we're going to cook you alive. How many of you might think twice about bowing to that idol if there was a giant oven right there full of fire and I was going to throw you in there to get barbecued? And so here are these guys, he goes, he gets so mad at their resistance, he says, make it even hotter. When the guards go over to open the doors to throw them in, it was so hot, the flames instantly kill both of the guards. And so here they go, they throw them in the fire, a fourth man appears in the fire, Jesus. The king is astonished. They have him come out. Their clothes are not burned. There's no singe on their body. And the king falls down and says, your God is God. Your God is ruler of all. And I think if I have the story right, he makes a decree that everybody has to worship their God. Okay, that's an epic story. But you know what? Every day, all day, we don't have giant gold idol parties where people come and threaten you with guns to worship the idol. What we have is cultural pressure. What we have is political narratives. What we have is, man, should I say it? All kinds of views on sexuality. If you stand with the word, you're a bigot. If you don't accept and affirm everything about me, you're a bigot. We name call, we cancel. That is our modern day furnace. Believe this or you're nothing anymore. We're gonna kill your influence, we're gonna slander your name, and we're gonna try to erase you from any ability to impact and affect anybody. It happens on the left, it happens on the right, it's all over America. How many of you, you're about to make an Instagram reel, you're about to post something, and you go PC check. You're like, okay, could this make anybody mad? Could this offend anybody? How many of you have done that before, saying something on your Instagram, TikTok, whatever? How many of you just like let it rip? You just don't even give a rip. That's amazing. I guess you got the point already. All right. So here are the three temptations to suck your courage away. Number one, the first temptation all these three guys had was conformity. Dude, conformity is a powerful drug. That longing to be accepted by everybody and not to be the odd man out, to feel rejected, alone, or isolated is a powerful drug. It's amazing. I watch people, I counsel people. They're trying to get over old habits in their life. And the first moment they're with a group of people, pressure them to do something old in their old life, they instantly conform because they want to be liked so bad. I think sometimes we're not honest in America that we really want to be liked. And so sometimes we'd rather compromise our own convictions to be accepted. If you want to have biblical courage, you have to pay the cost. Pay the cost of losing your reputation and standing by your convictions. Christians have to get conviction back and not change them in the name of love or change them in the name of compassion. You've got to be immovable. When the pressure is there, when the pressure is not, standing firm. Number two, there's the temptation to always try to find a little bit easier way. Well, you know, I'll just have one drink with you guys, and then, you know, I won't go all the way there, but, oh, but then I end up having two, and then three, and then four, then five, and then, oh, man, well, you know, it's okay, you know, I'm just going to be a messenger of God's grace. Let's, Lord, we're sorry. Whatever, all this goofy stuff, there isn't an easy way to follow Jesus. The scripture says that the way to death is wide, meaning easy to find, easy to follow, and a huge crowd is walking down it. And the other one is narrow and few are walking it, and it's difficult and few make it. So you got to have that thing inside of you that just settles. There is no easy way to follow Jesus. There are easy moments. There are easy seasons. But when you look at the entire series of your life, you are going to meet moments where you are tested. And in those moments of testing, will you have courage? Can we keep going? Yes. Lastly, some of us just hide. We just hide from courage. Any need for it? We hide in the church. We hide in the pews. We hide in the worship set. Hide our house. And we don't even want to enter into the conversation. We just rather let somebody else deal with it. I'm just here. I'm just a prayer warrior praying for stuff. But the truth is you're hiding behind your fear. You're using spiritual excuses, spiritual habits, right? Prayer should require courage. I hope there's courage in your prayers. Like, what are you praying for? What are you contending for? How intense are you going? What are you doing? There better be some courage. Can we keep going? I'm running out of time. Number two, you need the courage to advance. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to advance. Right? You need to be able to overcome adversity, overcome obstacles that are intimidating. The classic story, David and Goliath. Goliath is standing there. Have you ever heard the story? It's like, David and Goliath is not about us. It's about God. Have you heard this sermon before? It is about God. But check it out. It also teaches about us too. All right. And here it is. Goliath is standing out there. He's huge. He's a trained killer. He's super intimidating. He's got crazy smack talk. And I imagine everybody's really scared because he has a reputation for just killing people like a machine. And so he's challenging every day the whole army to have one guy to come down to go one-on-one. And whoever wins, they'll declare that person the winner. And the other nation will have to serve the other nation and be enslaved. And he's making fun of all of Israel. And he's making fun of the God of Israel. And there's a standstill for week after week. Everybody is afraid to face Goliath. And here comes David back from his kind of part-time backwoods job of watching sheep. Comes to deliver some food to his brothers. His brother says, what are you doing here? Get out of here. We don't want you here. He's like, well, God sent me here. My dad sent me here. I'm rolling. What's going on? Sees Goliath. Gets super mad that someone is making fun of his God. Runs straight for the guy in charge, King Saul, and says, I will face that guy. King Saul gives him his like huge, super dialed, heavy armor to go down there and face. He goes, I don't need any armor. I just need my slingshot. Cruises down, slings his stone, hits Goliath in the head, and then chops off his head. And now we just finished Sunday school. That's the most intense Sunday school. Think about the things we learned in Sunday school. And then David chopped off his head. What's the lesson, kids? Right, the second thing you need to have courage is not just to stand in your convictions, but to face down evil. We don't battle people anymore, but we do battle spirits, but we do battle principalities, and we do battle the enemy's agenda here on earth. And we fight for people, and our weapons are love, and our weapons are preaching the gospel, and our weapons are patience and compassion, and our weapons are speaking truth. Our weapons are building structures that serve people. Our weapons is bringing justice and practical resolve. You have to have something in you that when you look at the things of the world that are not right, that you should have a little bit of anger pop up and go, that is not right, and I'll take care of that. Some of you have been way too long and you're chill with everything. You're chill with everything. You watch the video on Netflix, a documentary about suffering, like, whoa, that was intense, man. Wow, that was, I cried, man. You cry? I cried. I cried so hard. I wept for 2 days. I created a puddle of tears. I have a jar of tears. Here it is. Awesome, dude. But did you get angry? Did something in you go, those are 12-year-olds being sexually assaulted. What should I do about it? Did you even have the thought that you should do something about it? You ever walk by someone just depressed? You can tell sorrow's on them. And you just get that thing up in you. Like, man, they can't be living this way. Someone needs to tell them about the gospel. But we do this all the time. We just walk by people like, oh. Yeah. Someone will get to them. God's sovereignty will guide someone to them. Dude, you're... Never mind. All right, so... Robert is the good Samaritan. Like, oh, man. That... All right. You are the guy. I am the guy. There has to be something that rises up in you and says, I have courage. Some of you are so chill about your family doesn't know Jesus. Some of you are so chill about your friends that don't know Jesus. And we say all kinds of things, right? They're on a journey, man. The journey is strong. The journey is tender. The journey is God's. What are you talking about? Like you're making, we make up stuff. It's all part of God's master plan, man. No, it's not. No, it's not. The Bible says you're not promised tomorrow. The Bible warns you from hardening your heart and says, please do not do it. Disaster could strike. And you are in their life to win them to Jesus. Not just to pray for them. Not just to think about them. Did you know you cannot send thoughts? I have tried so hard. Literally, I'm doing it right now. Are you getting it? I said, cash at me. Okay, so he didn't get it. this. It's like, dude, you got to get that righteous indignation back. And then some of us, right, we get fired up. But then we get afraid to bring the solution that God gave us. We put on other people's armor. Or we show up to the battle and the first people that see us go, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? You're going to beat Goliath with a slingshot? And right there, we go back home. We're like, oh, man, that was discouraging. Lose your courage. See, there's got to be something in you that goes a little bit of like, I don't give a rip what you think. Because your faith in me is not why I have courage. Everything you just did right there is evidence that you're not talking to God right now. I got the download right now. Please excuse me. Who's in charge? Excuse me, Pastor. I feel to reach my campus for God. Well, when I was in college, I went to 2 years schooling, certificates, special classes to reach my campus. And you need to do the same journey if you want to be effective. But there's something, he goes, dude, I don't got 2 years. 2 years from now, two classes will be gone. I've been sitting under your teaching for 5 years. And I need to tell somebody about it. And you know what? Man, I'm going to get in trouble on this one. Sometimes you got to just do it and quit waiting for everybody to bless it. I'm telling you, you don't need man's blessing to be an evangelist. You do not need man's blessing to preach the gospel. You do not need man's blessing to go over there and help the poor. Because you know what? God has already asked us to do and is going to hold us accountable in the end if we did do it. And I'm not going to stand there before God and say, well, my pastor gave me shifty eyes when I told him my vision, so I quit. My best friend got jealous and insecure and gave me the silent treatment for a day, so I didn't do it because I wanted to preserve the friendship. There's got to be something in you that has courage and goes, I'm moving forward with or without you. Because I just want to let you know the poor aren't going to help themselves. I got to get involved. Who do you think you are? What's your degree? What are you going to do? It's so complex. You know what? I'm going to go feed at least one person today. And that's how we'll start. Man alive. Should I just slam the plane? All right, we're not even done yet. Let's keep going. Number three. This one is going to hurt. And it's so true. It's so good. It's going to hurt good. It's like a, this one's like a one of those deep tissue massages. Somebody about to get delivered right now. Do I have a demon? Does he see that prophetically? Yeah, I do. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's keep going. The third thing is you need the courage to endure. Because sometimes, let's pause, let's go to the story. Story time, back to Sunday school. All right, Joseph in the coat of many colors. How many of you ever heard of Joseph in many colors? He had a rough go. Great start. Major prophetic words over his life. You're going to be everyone's leader. You're going to be important. You're going to do stuff for God. Super exciting Monday night. Yes, important, leading everybody, and I'm going to have a great life. But then how many of you know that you got to be careful who you share your prophetic words with? Joseph has not learned the lesson. So he books it back into his house and goes, yo, all my brothers and my dad and mom, I'm going to be your leader one day, and all of you are going to bow down to me, and I'm going to be the boss. Isn't that awesome? They told me that at Monday nights. Okay, so he does this. The brothers get so angry, they sell him into slavery. So now he's shipped off to Egypt, pyramids, whatever's going on there. Now he's working there. He's a slave. And he's a slave in a guy named Potiphar's house. He's a military official. And he's doing a good job. And he's been such a servant carrying the presence of God, that he's been elevated to top dog in the house. So now he's like Downton Abbey, top butler guy, all right? That's what his job is now. And he's cruising, the dude's at work. Yeah, I've seen it, all right? I'm not ashamed. I got courage to watch it with my wife, but only a couple episodes, and I couldn't take anymore. All right, so I was like, what is happening? I need a sandwich. All right, so basically, all of a sudden, Wait, this is going to be like a rated R story. Are you sure you're prepared for this? Okay, so one day he comes in, he's cleaning the bedrooms, and there Potiphar's wife is chilling on the bed with not everything appropriately clothed, and says to Joseph, hey, let's get it on. And Potiphar won't know, let's do it right now. And he goes, I'm not going to dishonor you, and I'm not going to dishonor my boss, and I'm not going to dishonor God. No. Come on, come on, come over here. No. And he literally runs out of the building. Some of you need to employ that. You pray a lot against temptation, but you should just book it. Like, just book it. Like, you, there are some people, you're at whatever, wherever you are, and you don't need an explanation. You just need to run. And it's a declaration of humility that you are not God and you cannot resist everything. Dude, always people, right? They get saved. They get like that extra Holy Ghost, you know, wildness. The first 3 months, they get super stoked. And they're like, I'm going to go back and be an evangelist at my frat house. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to get evangelized. So you're not going back there. Yeah, I am. I got what it takes to be in the world, not of the world. They cruise back. How'd it go? Horrible. Horrible. It went so bad, right? He should have just ran the other way. There's certain temptations you want to stay away from. Plot twist. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was awesome. Crazy repentance, national revival. Joseph gets put in prison because she accuses him of sexually assaulting her to her husband. Husband goes, how dare you? Puts him in prison. Super easy to have courage on all the dreams when you're getting the revival moments. Woo, I obeyed. I can see the fruit of my obedience. Super hard to maintain your courage when you obey and it gets worse. Dude, I preached the gospel to my friend. Oh, he didn't get saved. All my friends hate me now. I have no friends. A little bit harder that time to pick up your courage and go at it again. Yo, I stepped out. I obeyed Jesus. I did this thing, and it really was hard and not fun. I'm confused. How many of you stepped out in courage before? Stepped out in radical obedience and got disillusioned by the result. Right? You were so hyped up on faith of how it was going to end, and it didn't end the way you were thinking. And you're like, dude, where even am I right now? God, where are you? You abandoned me. You lose your courage. Get that little bit of pride. Lose that humility. Get that unbelief. Well, here's the storyline. Joseph being sent to prison was actually his pathway to ministering to the Pharaoh of the land, becoming the second most important person in the entire country, saving all the Egyptian people and the entire nation of Israel. See, sometimes Jesus needs you to have courage for a little bit longer in the story because the storyline is bigger than you were thinking. And so much we think in little short segments of our life, and if something doesn't work out, we're like, where is God? And he's like, the scene is not over. I'm not done yet. This is a part of the journey. Now, Joseph sits in prison for 2 years. I hate waiting. Anyone else hate waiting? Waiting makes me lose courage sometimes. Right? You ever get the courage, then you have to wait, and then by the time you need to do it, you lost it? See, there's this thing that we all need called endurance. Look at your neighbor and say, endurance. Endurance. Come on, look at it, say, endurance. Endurance. Some of you tonight need to throw off disillusionment. Some of you need to throw off discouragement. Some of you need to throw off impatience and say, God's not done. I did hear right. This is part of the journey. Following Jesus isn't a straight line up. Sometimes it gets harder before it gets better. Because can I tell you this? Courage is never wasted. Think about that. Courage is never wasted. Stephen, the martyr, New Testament. Derek mentioned him a few Mondays ago. I think last Monday. He's following Jesus. He just gets elevated. He's preaching the gospel. And he gets martyred. He gets killed. And kind of the big thing about his life is he sees like the pearly gates open up as he's dying. And sees Jesus welcome. You're like, dude, he obeyed and he died. How can that not be wasted? But in the crowd, there is Paul who's being marked with conviction, and God's beginning to prepare his storyline to become the apostle to the Gentiles. See, God understands the story he's writing through your life. And sometimes your suffering is because it's going to inspire somebody else to get courage or follow Jesus so he can write his grand narrative. You always get discouraged when you think your life is about you. That was worth the price of admission right there. Let's take an offering. For real. Let's say no. But when it's about you, it's so easy to get discouraged. But when you, God is working through my circumstances to reach people and to do things that I don't even understand, you can maintain faith. Look at your neighbor and say, get your faith back. All right, we're laying the plane right here. Everyone say bonus round. You want bonus round? I got one more specific application of faith for everybody in this room. Most of us are young people. If you are 30 and under, can you raise your hand? Amazing. I'm afraid to ask who's 30 and up. We have so few. Why don't they? Okay. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Almost there. 31 this summer. All right. We're getting there. All right. We're really growing. The population is growing. Some of you, hear me on this. This is just a special one for you. I don't have a Bible story for you. I just have the whole Bible on this one for you. You need to have the courage to commit. How many of you ever read the books Choose Your Own Adventure in high school? They had these books called Choose Your Own Adventure. You read a chapter, and at the end of the chapter, it would say, do you want to cross the bridge, meet with the alien, or eat the alien's fruit? And you're like, ooh, eat the alien's fruit. And it would go to page 70. Oh, the alien was angry with you and devoured you. You have died. Start the book over. You have to start the book over and try to make choices to get to the end of the book. It was called Choose Your Own Adventure books. You can probably find them on Amazon. Or maybe they don't make them anymore. They're awesome. But so many of us treat life like choose your own adventure. We live in a constant state of floating. And we never stick in the game long enough for God to build a storyline. Because God has designed for your storyline, hear me, to be built in the context of a community. We are American. We think God is building my storyline as an individual, like I am the protagonist in the movie. And God is saying, Jesus is the protagonist. You are a supporting actor. And the way you do your calling is by committing to a community and then committing to serve and then following for the long term. I get people who come all the time to Circle Riders. Some of the Circle Rider leadership's clapping. Oh, no, sorry. New staff, listen to this. All right, so, right, there's something in some of you where it's like just when it gets hard, that's truthfully where God starts to really deal with you and it's about to get good, but you go, I had a prayer time. Always a prayer time. Wonder if there was even really prayer. What was happening? Like I prayed. God is sending me. Where is he sending you? He's sending me away. Where to? It's a faith journey. I have to just, it's Abraham. We have a story for everything. It's Abraham. I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. God spoke it. I have to go now. And you're like, no, you just got confronted last night on laziness and on unbelief. And you were told one instruction for your life to do, and now you're mad and you want to leave, and you're using God as your excuse. Some of you need to take the incredible risk of committing somewhere, fully getting discipled, following imperfect people so that God can write an incredible storyline. If God could get Joseph exactly where he needed him to go, and there are no Christian characters in the storyline, meaning everybody in Joseph's movie is a pagan and worship doing Egyptian black magic. If he can use people in the occult to get Joseph where he wants to go, and you don't believe that God can get you where you need to be in the context of the church, you are deceived and you're going to miss your storyline. Next week, half the people are here. Oh, it's funny. Some of you are at your house like, how do I serve? How do I serve? How do I serve? I want to have impact. I want to have impact. I'm like, join a small group. Go to a church, any church. There's always a missions pastor. That's what they're called, missions pastor. They never have enough workers. They never have anybody who wants to do anything. Go to that person and say, I'm here for the next 5 years to serve you and reach this city and see what God does with you. Versus, man, Circle Riders was an awesome season, but I need to go get a little bit more into even more spontaneous worship. So I'm running to Upper Room. Ooh, Upper Room is awesome. I love this. Got some Corey Russell, and that was good. Thank you for the impartation. But now God is leading me to Elevation Church. Man, Stephen Furtick, fire me up. This is so good. I love this. This is awesome. The fire follows faith. Whoa, that is crazy. But now God's trying to teach me about Sabbath. Where's John Mark Comer at? I'm going to go cruise over to him now. Oh, man, now I Sabbath. So I drink. I got matcha from heaven, dude. I got all kinds of spiritual journaling practice. I like listen to the Holy Spirit. You know what, though? I'm tired of big church. I'm ready for house church. I'm moving to Northern California. Where's Francis Chan at? I'm your... And you visit everybody else's movie instead of writing and being a part of one. And there you are at your house, 25, I'm left out. God doesn't want to use me. Yes, he does. But you have to have the courage to come in. Can we all stand together? The band can come up. Who feels a little more courage tonight? Look at your neighbor and say, how's your courage? All right. As the band comes up, we're going to have a little prayer. Remember your prayer, buddy. Grab your prayer, buddy. Grab your prayer, buddy, right now. We're about to put some synth on. It's going to go next level in about 1 second. Okay. Are you guys ready for this? I'm going to give you 30 seconds each, 60 seconds each, really quickly here. Here are the kinds of courage that we need. The courage to resist and stand firm. The courage to advance. The courage to endure. The courage to commit. That's all saying together. The courage to resist. Come on, one more time. The courage to resist. Resist. Advance. Endure. Commit. Resist. Advance. Endure. Commit. Okay, I want you to turn to the person right next to you, and which one of those do you feel like you got to go next level on courage? Which one of those you feel like, man, that was convicting, and that's the one for me tonight? Go ahead. Go ahead. Which one is it? Don't be afraid to share. Be honest. Okay, switch, switch, switch. Okay, pause, 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 pause. Pause, wherever you're at, pause really quick. All right, somebody raise your hand if you feel like you need the courage to resist and to stand firm in your convictions. Can you just raise your hand really quick? That's amazing. I love that. How many of you need the courage to advance, and there's some obstacles, there's some Goliaths in your life, and you're sitting in the tent, but you need to get in the game and go down there and face it? Can you raise your hand? That's amazing. How many of you lost some courage? You lost that faith because you had to endure some really difficult things, and you lost that courage, and you got to get it back tonight. Can you raise your hand? That's amazing. And how many of you related with, man, I need the courage to commit somewhere. I can't just do Christianity on my own. Go ahead, raise your hand real high, real high. It's all right. You're like, I don't even want to commit to the full hand raise. Just go as a first step. Let's just do full extended elbow. Let's do it all together. Right here it is. There it is. Feels so good. Look at that. So good. You're having breakthrough already. So here's the deal. Fear, everyone say fear.
Fear
is all about cost.
It's all about cost.
Meaning, don't repeat anymore. There's not subtitles. All right. Meaning this is that you have to say yes to the cost. That's why you're afraid. It's because there's a cost there and you just don't want to pay it. Or you fall into peer pressure because you don't want to pay the cost of standing out. You don't face the obstacle because you don't want to face the cost of potential failure. You don't want to pay the cost of whatever and think, if I do fail. Some of you are holding on to your reputation and you don't want to give up the cost of losing your reputation to follow Jesus. I love what Derek said. He said the same. He said, if you let fear and reputation rule you, fear will always be your master. Tonight, we got to pay some costs. I want to look at this really quick. Here's some yeses we got to have in your heart. If you have like, man, I need to pay that cost, I want you to say amen when I finish reading the sentence. So let's practice one time. Say amen.
Amen.
It'll be kind of like a check box. Like, just if this is true for you, just check the box. Don't say amen if it doesn't apply to you and you're not ready to do this, all right? We need to say yes to the cost of following Jesus. Lord, I say yes to the cost of persecution. Jesus trained me so that persecution will bounce off of me and not deter me from turning back from the earnest pursuit of you. Jesus, I say yes to the cost of loneliness. Those who you lead will not see all of what you see. It is not their fault. The Lord has simply allowed me to see more of the vision of what you're doing right now. Lord, I say yes to the unconventional approach and I give up the right to be always understood. Amen. Lord, I say yes to the cost of living every day for the seeking and saving of the lost. What about the cost of initiative? Yes to the cost of going first or beginning something new before anyone else volunteers. Yes to the cost of passionate love for the lost and actively seeking them out. Yes to the cost of sacrificial, wholehearted, decision-based, faith first and feeling second love. Yes, the cost of beginning with nothing and pioneering assignments that God has given me from the ground up. Yes, the cost of initiating a lifestyle of prayer, fasting, seeking first love to God above any other ministry. Can we do a few more? What about our reputation? I think it's time for that to go. Let's pray this one all out loud together. Jesus. I say yes to the cost of losing my reputation. I surrender my reputation and choose obedience instead of the sin of the fear of man. Can we do one more out loud? I want you to close your eyes right now. Just lift your hands to the Lord. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit just increase in this place right now and just begin to touch people. Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence right now. Just invite your Holy Spirit to baptize people in boldness and strength and encourage in Jesus' name. I want you to say this out loud. Jesus, I say yes to the cost of losing the approval of man.
I say yes to the cost of losing the approval of man.
I choose fear of God,
over the fear of man.
I say yes to the cost of losing comfort and materialism.
I say yes to the cost
of living for you,
but getting no recognition
or credit from others. Lord, I say yes to the cost of never growing weary of your mission.
I say yes to the cost
of breaking fear off my voice
and releasing the sound
that God has put in me.
Jesus, I surrender everything to you.
I say yes to the cost of following Jesus. I want everybody just right now, just jump on your knees really quick. Just get down on your knees. If you can't, you can sit in your chair, but just ever on your knees for a moment. We're going for a humility fest right now. Every way that you have had pride in your heart, you have been resistant in believing God. This is a moment I want you to pray and say, God, you are God, I am not. And I'm ready to 100% surrender and align my life to your will. Some of you right now, you need to respond because you're just toeing the line with the world and you just need to right now surrender to Jesus and say, I'm ready to completely live for you. So right now, I want you to close your eyes. Everyone, close your eyes right now. I want you to pray. Every eye closed. Say, Jesus, forgive me for all pride.
Forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for criticism, jadedness, and unbelief. Forgive me for complaining. I say yes to the cost. I say yes to the cost. Jesus, I elevate you as the ruler, the leader, in total control of my life, of my thought life, of my career, of my actions, of my friendships. God, I repent for secret sin. I repent of lust. Of disloyalty, of being half in and half out. I want to follow you.
Thank you for listening to the Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at crmovement.com. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or to see what's happening across the nation, follow us at CR Movement on Instagram. We'll see you on the road.